Rhema, what is your profession?
Worship. Worship. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 I thank God for this day. For this is a day that He has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. I thank God that we now have a working organ. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it's a message that's going to come out of this. One thing I like what Sister Tanya did, she stuck with it. Amen. There, again, I'm a preacher, so there's a message in what she dealt with. But I thank God that she stuck with it. Amen. That's a blessing within itself. Amen. She stuck with it. Teachers, everybody staying in. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, beginning with verse 29 through 30. When you're there, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 23, verse 29 and 30. I'm reading from the King James Version. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Amen. May God bless the readers and hearers and doers of his word. Amen. I want to speak from this subject, talking about we can't rush hairy God. I mean, no matter what you try to do, you're not going to rush God. I know that sometimes we ask the question, you know, why God doesn't do something all at once. We want God to do something today and not tomorrow. In the Old Testament, God promised the Israelites that he would give them the promised land. But God seemed to drag his feet on the promise. Remember, they were in Egypt for a long period of time. But God did make a promise. And we have to understand that when God make a promise, he will fulfill his promise. But have you ever felt like God made a promise or gave you a desire but wonder why it hasn't happened yet? But you have to understand something. That's why you have to go back and read what he's saying here. I would not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee till thou be increased and inherit the land. God was speaking to Moses, and he was telling him how the Israelites were to live in the land that he had promised to them by God. So God also spoke to Moses and reminded him what he was going to do for them. So what are we learning from this, you know, from these verses? What are we getting an understanding of? We need to understand that God will only give us what we are prepared to handle, both good and bad. God will never bless us with more than we can handle. God's blessings in our lives usually don't come all at once. Most miracles in our lives are progressive in nature. God doesn't give us everything at once because we are usually not ready to take possession of it at once. When we have to wait on God, it forces us to depend upon him even more. God is just as interested in the journey as he is in the destination that we are going. We all wish God would move faster, but he never seems to be in a hurry to do things. That's because God does not want us to miss anything along the journey. Have you ever, I know I'm normally the driver in the vehicle. So what I'm saying is that normally when I'm driving, I don't see everything that the passenger sees because my focus is on what's ahead of me. But I don't get to see the sceneries and the landscaping and the beautiful building and the restaurants or the city because all I see is what's ahead of me, which is where I should be focused. But we miss things along the journey. But with God, God doesn't want you to miss the teaching along the journey. So a lot of times we're trying to get to the destination, but God is trying to get you to see the journey as you're traveling. So there's a lesson from a long journey. We all read about David. We've read the story. If you ever been to Sunday school, you know about David. You heard the story. David is at a point in his life where he went through some struggles. He went through a journey, but he came to a point where now he's ready to be king. Now that Saul is dead, the road to the throne is open now. The years of preparation have come to an end, and he is ready to fulfill God's call on his life. If you look back at the long journey from the sheepfold of Bethlehem to the throne of Israel, two great principles stands out. When God wants to prepare us to do a job for him, he's never in a hurry. At least 10 years or maybe more passed between the time God told David he would be king and the time he actually ascended to the throne. The years in between were years of training and preparation. 10 years is a long time for us, but to God, 1,000 years is as one day. One day. So God knows what he is doing in our life. Sometimes we don't see the full picture, but God does. And he won't stop until he is finished. And nothing you can do, nothing you can say, will hurry God to do what you want him to do. The other point is, when God wants to prepare us for royalty, his best tool is adversity. His best tool is adversity. You can see it in David's life, and you can see it in your life, and you can see it in mine. Ecclesiastes reminds us, to everything there is a time and a season. Sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we build up. Sometimes we tear down. Sometimes we embrace. Sometimes we refrain from embracing. If you live long enough, you will see it all and probably live through it all. David's life reminds us that adversity and spiritual growth often go together. In his life, what we see in our own lives, God is at work and he is in no hurry. It may take a while and the road may be bumpy, but there is a crown and a throne for those who persevere. Every one of us has a beginning, but your beginning is not your end. If you say, "I can't," you recognize that your beginning is your end. When you said, "I can't." So I find it insulting when people say they want my life, as if my life just happened. Or people say, when they see somebody, you know, who may be a celebrity or whomever they may see that they, you know, look upon, they may say, "I want their life," as if their life just happened. They don't understand the pain, the things that you push through to get where you are today. See, some of us, you know, may have been raised in the projects. Some of us may have been raised in a trailer. Some of us may have been raised in a low, poor poverty area. But now they see how you're living now and they say they want your life. But they don't understand that what you push through to get to where you are today. They don't see that. They don't see the fact that you had to get up out of the bed and push and get yourself ready and get up, even though you didn't feel like it, you know, but you still struggled and every inch of your body wanted a pity party, but you still pushed yourself to get where you needed to be. So your beginning and your end is a product and focus and vision. We all begin some things pathetic and weak. When I first started, y'all know I love baseball by now. If you don't, then you ain't been paying attention. I mean, for real, you just haven't been paying attention. Baseball was my number one sport. When I started off, I was pathetic. I couldn't hit the ball. So what I'm saying is that we all start off somewhere pathetic and weak. You understand what I'm saying? In some ways. And then sometimes we start off strong in others. When we say we can't do something, we are focusing on our beginning, our course. Of course, you can't do that today. You know, I'm working with my son in the backyard. I mean, when I toss the ball to him, I mean, he's hitting it. I'm chasing. I'm like, man. Then so I got so happy, I wanted to show my mom, say, hey, you got to check him out. This guy is hitting this ball. And then I tossed it to him. He's swinging and missing. I'm like, hold up now. That ain't what you did at the house. Then I took him in the backyard again. I tossed it to him, and he's hitting it. I said, why couldn't you do that the other day? We start somewhere. What I'm trying to say to you, sometimes we need to change our focus. If your focus is not right, you need to change your focus. I bothered them. They got binoculars. Lewis let me know they're nosy. And they're looking. You use that out in the woods when you're hunting. But when you got it in your house and by the window, you're looking. You're looking at your neighbors a little too close. That's all I can understand. So they got binoculars on the window sill. And when you pick them up, I always have a hard time looking out the binoculars because I can see better without the binoculars. But I try to focus in, make it clearer, you know, so I can zoom in and see what's going on. So your beginning can be today. If you was jacked up yesterday, but guess what? In Christ Jesus, you can begin again today. Vision is what will bring you to your end. Focus on your vision rather than your beginning. Let me show you something. Show those pictures that I asked, you know, because I want you all to see something. I want you all to understand something. The pictures that I'm about to show you is that if you focused on the beginning and you feel as though you're not going to make it, then you're not going to make it. But if you blot out all of the confusion, out of all the mess. And if you focus on what God wants you to do, then you will be blessed. And I want you to understand something. You can say today is my own new beginning. You can make the same choices too. Everyone has a beginning. Your beginning is not your end. I wish the thief on the cross was here right now. Because if he was here, he would tell you that his beginning was not his end. That Jesus said, this day you should be with me in paradise. So that lets me know that your beginning is not your end. Y'all see this? Show the before. Some of y'all didn't see this. This is where you are right now. This is what it looked like. This was the beginning.
when we came in here, this is the before. Now, see, this is another view that you can understand. This was a pool. But if you come in here and you don't have a vision, and you don't say, well, I can't see a church being in here. All I see is a pool. Let's turn it into what it already is. But thanks be to God that you got a vision. You got somebody that can focus. And they see what you don't see. This is what I was really looking at. It's the after. This is what I saw. When y'all was looking at the pool, I was looking at this. Because my focus was not where you was looking at. You was looking at, I don't know how we going to do that. This is a mess. That's what my daughter's good at saying that. If she going, I'm going to tell you, you know if you got a clean house, because when she walk in there, if she sees something out of order, she going to tell you it's a mess. She going to let you know that. So when I saw this, I see a church. I see what God can do. I see baptizing. It's how you look at things. It all starts with how your day will end and how your hour will end and how this very minute will end. There are no secrets. Every answer you need is inside of you right now. You need to find a way to bring out the best in yourself. Now, here's the thing. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and develop. In other words, be patient with God and with yourself. One of life's frustrations is that God's timetable is rarely the same as ours. We are often in a hurry when God isn't. You may feel frustrated with slow progress you're making in life. Remember, God is never in a hurry, but he's always on time. See, he will use your entire lifetime to prepare you for your role in eternity. That's what God would do. The Bible is filled with examples of how God uses a long process to develop character, especially in leaders. He took 80 years to prepare Moses, including 40 in the wilderness. So in other words, we're talking about 14,000 some days Moses kept waiting and wondering. Is it time yet? But God kept saying, not yet. When God wants to make a oak tree, it takes 100 years. But when he wants to make a mushroom, it'll be up overnight. Because I got some in my yard. I'm like, I just cut grass and this mushroom, you wasn't early yesterday. Overnight, mushroom pops up. Weeds pop up overnight. God wants to bless us. But sometimes we have to understand that it is a process that we have to go through. Great souls are grown through struggles and storms and seasons of suffering. Be patient with the process. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Sometimes, folks, we got to stick with it. Don't get discouraged. When Habakkuk became depressed because he didn't think God was acting quickly enough, God had this to say. These things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. It seems slow. Do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Not overdue a single day. So we have to be patient. Remember how far you come, not just how far you have to go. You are not where you want to be, but you neither are where you used to be. You got to remember that. We always have a,
a vision of something before it actually becomes real to us. When we realize that the vision is real, but is not yet real in us, Satan comes to give us temptation. And when we are inclined to say that there is no point in even trying to continue, then the vision becomes, Satan tries to make that vision become stale in your life. God gives us a vision, and then this is what God does. This is what he does. God gives us a vision, and then he takes us down to the valley to batter us into the shape of that vision. You got to go through something. God is going to shape you into that vision. If y'all want to be a pastor, he's going to shape you into that vision. Because you got to deal with everybody's personality. You got to deal with all kind of folks. Not only that, you want to be a supervisor, a boss on your job. Guess what? God is going to shape you to prepare you to be that boss. It ain't about just making more money. God has to develop your character to deal with people's personality. Because the first thing you want to do is knock somebody's head off. You can't do that. That is not the way you handle that situation. You understand me? Some of you all want to have your own business. Okay, well, you're going to have to understand that it ain't going to pop up overnight. There's going to be a struggle. It is in the valley that so many of us give up. Every God-given vision will become real if we will only have patience. Just think of the enormous amount of free time God has, because time has no effect on him. He's never in a hurry, yet we are always in a big hurry. Ever since God gave us the vision, he has been at work. He is getting us into shape of the goal that he has for us, and yet over and over again, we try to escape from the sculptor's hand in an effort to batter ourselves into the shape of our own goal that we want to do. The vision that God gives is not some unattainable castle in the sky, but a vision of what God wants you to be down here. Allow the potter to put you on his wheel and whirl you around as he desires. Then as surely as God is God, and you are you, you will turn out exactly like he wants you to be. Success does not require that you be the first or the fastest. Success happens when it happens, and even if you are the last one to get there, you still made it. Keep that in mind, what I just said, because I'm going to come back on that. Success does not require that you be the first or the last. Success happens when it happens, and even if you are the last one to get there, you still made it. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to say something about that. We should be proud of the fact that we made it. There are many people that give up before they get there, and many that never even try to begin with. Sometimes speed is an advantage. Like when there's one worm, then yes, the early bird gets the worm. Speed has its advantage. I used to like to say to people that I wasn't fast, but I was quick. To me, that's a difference. Fast is you're the first one to get there. Quick to me is something altogether different. Now you see me, now you don't. I wasn't always the fastest, but I would like to say that I was the quickest. In life, there isn't just one opportunity. There are many opportunities. We need to understand that. There are many opportunities. God is not finished with you or me yet. So keep on moving forward. Even the snail reached the ark by persevering. Like I said, it's not the fastest that get there, but it's how you made it there. The snail had patience. Here's the point I'm trying to get to. The snail had patience. It watched the cheetah, the zebra, the lion, the peacock, the elephant, the giraffe, the duck, the frog, the horse, the rabbits, canary, the bear, the deer, the monkey, all walk on board. Most people will get discouraged and maybe even feel that there is no point anymore. Patient people don't quit. They won't give up. And not only that, they turn it around and get inspired. They see others make it and they use it to motivate themselves. So this snail is seeing all these people, these animals, sorry, past them, going into the ark. Did he get discouraged and say, hey, well, hey, the way I'm traveling and how fast I'm going, I ain't gonna make it. But he made it. So it's what I'm saying is not the fastest to get there, but it's the fact that you made it. Sometimes some of us don't get our college degree at age 22. Some of us may get it at 30, 40, 50, 60. As long as you're still living and breathing, you can still make it. Everybody don't do everything at the same time. So just because your class graduated this year and you got folks already graduating from college within a couple of years and you still haven't done it, it doesn't matter how fast you get it, but as long as you make it there. We get so distracted because this person has done it. This person has done it. Now we're starting to get discouraged. There's no hope for me. There's people that are graduating from college right now at the age of 50. 60 years old, getting a degree. They did it on their pace, their time. Waiting reveals our true motives. Waiting has a way of bringing out the best and worst in people. People who don't have good motives won't wait long because they are not interested in the commitment it takes to see something through. They are too interested in short-term gains or success. Most of us have good intentions, but a lot of what we want to accomplish is an attempt to make a name for ourselves or for our own egos. Waiting transforms our character. Waiting has a way of rubbing off the rough edges and of our lives. Most of us know the story of Moses delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, but most messages are not focused on the time that he is actually by himself with the Lord, with the sheep. We focus on the fact that the deliverance, the miracles, but we don't focus on the time that he spent with God to be trained. You see what I'm saying? But we love to talk about how he parted the Red Sea, how he brought the plagues on, how he did it. He laid his stick down and it turned into a snake. We talk about all of those miracles, but what we don't talk about is the time that he spent with God by himself to give him the strength for the journey that he was about to endure, to prepare him for the battles that he was getting ready to go through. We don't hear messages and sermons about that because we feel as though it's not important, but it's just as important as him parting the Red Sea, as him listening to God. Those are important times. Few sermons talk about having to wait in the desert 40 years before God came to him. We don't talk about that. God used that time to transform his character. See, some of us have great leadership character, but we're a little rough with it. We need to be developed. We need to be underneath somebody who is seasoned. So in other words, what I'm saying is, before I became pastor, I was underneath my grandfather, who was seasoned, who understood things that I didn't understand, who can translate things better than I can translate. So what I'm saying is that people don't see what I went through before I got to be the pastor. All you see is that he's the pastor of Rhema Worship Center, but you don't see the training that I went through. Let me break it down to you this way. You didn't see my grandfather drilling me like a drill sergeant when I was taking him home. The car rides, he was questioning me on everything that took place, and I had to be on point. Y'all didn't see the conversation. You didn't hear the conversation. All you know is that, well, that's his grandson. And surely, you know, grandson falling in the grandfather's footsteps, and surely he would turn it over. No, that's not the way it happened. He prepared me for such a time like this. The teaching, the drilling that he did. What did you see today? And I used to hate when he would say, and. Then I would say this, you say, and, God, and he kept saying, and, I'm like, how much did you see? I should be asking you. He kept drilling me, and I had to be alert. I had to be in tune. I had to focus. This is why I can remember his messages, because I can quote them back to him. And he would sit there and he would go, never say another word. So waiting has a way of rubbing off the rough edges. We need those rough edges smoothed out. In the end, the Israelites were delivered from slavery and Moses became a great leader. Waiting transformed the life of Moses, and it does the same for you and I. Waiting builds intimacy and dependence upon God. Many of us, the single years that I had in my life, that was time that I was alone with God, spending my time with him. I didn't have to answer to anybody but God. So I was with him, alone with him, who was preparing me for such a time as this. So I spent some years alone with God, and God developed me, because he smoothed out some rough edges that was in me. The reason we are unable to read about the great men and women of the Bible is because they all had one thing in common. For them, they had a relationship with God. Relationship. That is what God is wanting us to have, a relationship with him. For many of them, it was a matter of life and death. The good news is that God never asks us to wait without him. Waiting during the difficult times develop our relationship with God. Some of the most intimate relationships we have in our lives are because a friend stood in the trenches with us during the heat of the battle. And maybe this is what the scriptures mean when it says that we have a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. The reason we get to read the stories of these great men and women and is because they went through the difficulties of life with God. In the end, they enjoyed the process with God and the promise of God. I've always believed God is just as interested in the journey as he is in the destination. If not, all the biblical accounts would only include the feel-good parts and not the bad and the ugly. But the Bible is filled with all parts. It lets you know how their journey started. It lets you know what happened in between the journey. And it lets you know what happened at the end of the journey, whether it was good, bad, the ugly. When Judas started off a good journey. He was following Christ. Good journey. Started off good. But look how it ended up for him. Suicide. Some of the thief on the cross started off with a bad journey. But look how it ended for him. with the Lord. What I'm trying to say is, if you fight what God is doing, it will just take things longer to work out for you. That's all it would do. When you fight what God is doing in your life, it's just going to take longer. Don't mess with what God is doing in your life. You need to relax and let God lead you. Eventually, you'll look back and see God's hand in every step of the way as you were going. Because I can look back and I can see God's hand in everything that I went through. Because I didn't fight what God was doing in my life. So if God is God, then he is just as much as the God of the cloudy days as he is the God of the sunshiny days. You can't rush a river. You got to let it flow. God works work in your life is like a river flowing steadily towards its appointed destination. Right now, your river may seem to have taken a detour, or you may feel like you're trying to rush the current along, but you have to understand something. It can't be done. The river can't be rushed. You are worried about your future. You're worried about your job. You're worried about your relationship. You're worried about whether you're going to get through this class. You cannot rush things along. It can't be done that way. You're worried about things that you shouldn't even be worrying about. Enjoy these days as part of God's plan for your life. Go with the flow that God is sending you. Let me tell you something. If you go with the flow that God is sending you, everything, the direction, the way the river is flowing is the way that God wants you to go. Don't try to venture off course. Flow with the way that God is taking you. Because every direction that he is taking you is the way that God wants you to go, because there's something that he wants you to pick up along the way of your direction, of the direction that he's taking you. Sometimes we try to change the course. We try to reinvent things on our own. But God is saying, I'm not asking you to reinvent something. I'm asking you to go with my flow right now. I understand that you don't like what's going on right now in your life, but God is saying, trust me, this is the flow that you need to go through, because what's going to happen is that you're going to arrive to your destination, but I need you to learn what's in this flow. Soon enough, God will bring you into a safe harbor. That river is flowing to a safe harbor, but if you try to get off course, well, what God is flowing you to, you, all you're doing is delaying your blessing. Go with God's flow. Enjoy the blessings of today and remember that everything good comes from God. There are going to be times in our life when God is going to want to do something great and through us. Even though we may not know what is going on or what is happening, we need to understand that God will not force some things to happen sooner than what it should. That's not the way it's going to happen. Sometimes we have to wait for God's timing to make it happen. One of the great lessons that every believer is going to have to learn is to stop trying to rush God. Stop trying to rush him. You rushing him is not going to make him get in a hurry. It's not that God is against you or your desires, is that God has a plan and a purpose for you in mind. But we all need more equipping than we think to handle the situation which God knows is coming your way. We don't see what's coming our way. If we knew what was coming our way, we would try to fix it. But we don't know what's coming our way. We would even try to avoid it. But God is saying, you must go through this in order to get to where you need to be. Do you realize that wherever God is leading you in life, you have to know how to handle the disappointments? Nobody wins all the time. Nobody. Many of the lessons we learn in preparing to become the person God wants us to be in real life situation is in a real life situation. Let me say this to you. We do not become stronger in the faith simply by reading a book on 10 ways to become stronger in the faith. That's not the way God operates. That's a nice book to read. But 10 ways to become stronger in the faith? No. God would rather provide us with 10 situations in which we will in emerge as stronger believers if we remain true to his word. So God is not going to give you a book to read 10 ways to become stronger in your faith. God will say, I'm going to give you 10 situations that's going to make you stronger than reading this book. Because God said, if I put you through this, you can tell your testimony. God said, if I put you through this yourself, you have a better understanding, because you can just, anybody can just read it. But God said, if I give you 10 situations, you're going to give me 10, at least 10 testimonies. So don't waste going through hard times just suffering and complaining. Notice, know that God is equipping you for something that you do not know about. There is something that you don't know about that God is equipping you for. God is saying, this person don't know about this, but they don't know what I'm doing. What they're doing right now is going to prepare them for what they don't know. So what you don't know is what God is preparing you for, what's getting ready to hit you. For example, God is preparing some of you all right now for what's going to hit you on Monday. Some of you all may get hit with it on Tuesday. Some of you all may get hit with it on next month. But what God is doing for you right now in your life is preparing you for what you don't know. So God is basically getting you ready for something that's getting ready to take place in your life. God is strengthening you for the moment so he can receive his glory. God is only equipping us to be stronger people in him. God is saying, I got you right now. So all I want you to do is, this current is flowing this way. Let it ride. I'm telling you, throw your hands up and say, we enjoy every moment. Y'all know how y'all were on the roller coaster. Y'all was ready to get on that roller coaster. Y'all had your hands up. And y'all was riding every curve that was coming. Everything went up, no matter if it went up. If it went down, your hands were still up and you was riding it just like this, because you knew that you were safe. All you got to do is ride God's current. His current is going to take you through the valley, but you ain't stuck, and it's going to bring you out. His current is going to flow just like the river, and you know you can't stop the river. The river is going to arrive to its destination. It's going to arrive to the safe harbor in which God has allowed it to go into. So you have to make up your mind, get an attitude, say, I'm determined to let God be God. I'm going to ride this current out. I'm going to let God do his thing. I understand that we can read this book about 10 ways to increase our faith, to get stronger. But we have to understand that I'm going to let God give me 10 situations. Allow the 10 situations to come into your life and be a blessing to you. Because that's all God is trying to do, is take you and shape you and mold you into the leader that he wants you to be. God don't want you to stay where you are. He loves you as you are, but he's not going to keep you as you are. He's going to move you to another level in him. So you can't rush him. I don't care how hard you try. David was a man who was trying to, God blessed him at a young age. He was anointed to be king. Y'all know that was a long journey for him to get to the throne. He had Saul threw an arrow at his head. Y'all hearing me? David survived assassination. He was chased. He was hunted down. God took David through the desert. had him in the desert. Why did God have him in the desert? Because God said, when you think about it, David, there's going to be a coming time in your life where you're going to go through the desert. And I need you to know how to get through this desert. You see what I'm saying? Everything that happens to us, you have to understand that there is a message that God is trying to bring out. What am I saying here? I'm saying that if you were a person that had a bad marriage, you can counsel people. You can teach them about how marriage was and what happened. You can use it as a testimony to help somebody. If you're living a single life, you can say how God is keeping you in your singleness. There's all kind of stories that we can use and that we can say how God is doing us. If you have a healthy marriage, you can say how God is blessing you. Because let me tell you this, if you say that it's not true, I say you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. God, even though you're married, don't say that you have never, that the devil has never tempted you. That stuff still happens. You're human. That's the temptation that we are dealing with. But what I'm saying is that you're able to be a motivational speaker for God. You can now take what your experience, your situation that you went through, now you can take that and you can say, now I understand better what God is doing in my life. We need to understand that God is not going to, you're not going to rush God to do something for you. If you desire to be married, God is not going to be in the hurry. God is not going to rush, but he will bless you in his own time. But you got to be patient. And in being patient, it will come. And it will not tarry. And it will not be a day overdue, is what the Lord said. It will be at its scheduled time. So I'm saying to you, don't rush God. The snail saw everything pass it up, but he still made it into the ark. You need to look at it that way. Everybody may pass you up, but the fact of the matter is you still made it. That says success. Not the fastest person who does it. Or who gets it done. I used to hate being in class. You know, you get some of those smart students that's, you know, on the honor roll, all this stuff, you know. They finish with their work. You see them with their book closed, and they sitting over there like this. And you still probably on question 10. And you still trying to get that, you know what I'm saying? And you got 50 questions, and you still on 10, but you working there. You still got, you know, 30 minutes of class left. You still got time. You on a good pace. And here it is, you got those little smarties. They're done. They looking around, and they bored. Now they start doing distractions and stuff. I'm just saying, you got folks that's like that, but then here you coming along. You trying to get yours done. You try not to make eye contact with them because they're making you mad. And then, you know, and then what I'm saying is that, you know, we have distractions that come in our life, but keep in mind, stay focused. It's not how fast you finish. It's the fact that you made it. That's how you look at it. Don't look at the folks that accomplished something real quick. The folks that, you know, I used to be like, oh, man, this person got a car when I was a teenager, and I still ride a 10-speed bike. Got upset. But don't look at how fast they some of my friends were living a fast life. Some of their kids are, some of my friends are granddaddies. They're granddaddies. Their children are in their 20s. Mine's is 4 and 3. My friends got, they got grandbaby. They're like, this is my grandbaby. I said, I thought that was your daughter. This is my grandbaby. I'm your grandbaby. I'm like, well, this is my daughter. What I'm saying is that some people live a fast life. Some people don't slow down and enjoy it. My grandfather used to always want to take the city route. You put him on the highway, you make him mad. He always wanted to go through the city. going 20 miles an hour. That's top speed for him. Just put him on a lawnmower and put it on rabbit and set him on his way. That's top speed for him. Because he's saying that he don't want to miss anything. Being on that highway, he said, you ain't seeing the city. All you seeing is highway. It upsets him. He wants you to, I don't care if it is going to save you gas and time. Means nothing to him. He said, take me through the city. Well, Daddy, I call my grandfather Daddy. Daddy, you need to get behind the wheel and drive then. I want to go the highway. And then, you know, when you say what you got to say, it's like, but Daddy, I'm going to take you through the city, though. Amen.